we get on the G&M Family Market phone line and say hi to Mike Giardi of Comcast Sportsnet. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you guys?
I'm doing great, thanks. Listen, we know how incredibly popular you are, not just here, but in all of New England. You were a finalist in our Downtown Madness, but I'm a little concerned that that love for Mike Giardi is apparently not universal.
I would say it's definitely not universal. And I guess that comes with the territory, loved and hated at the same time, right?
Well, I have a couple messages to play for you from other downtown guests. Here's the first one.
You can always criticize him for his choice of wardrobe, you know, as being the second best dressed man in the CSN studios behind me. If you know, that cuts deep to him. Anytime he loses to me on anything, it really hurts him.
That's your friend Kyle Draper, of course.
I don't ever recall losing to him in anything.
And then earlier today, this shot across the bow from Ryan Hannibal of WEEI.
I don't know it all. I think he knows everything down at Gillette. So make sure you give him a hard time. You can say it came from me.
He's just a little punk. I need to stuff him in a locker, I think.
It's jealousy, clearly, right?
Oh, well, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. I mean, Draper can't beat me, and my clothing just is superior to his. And then Hannibal, I mean, I think he wants to be me.
Well, who doesn't? There you go.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of people who don't, but Hannibal, and he's so far down on the food chain, you know, like he's am I the next step up? He just wants to get there.
Aim high, got to take out the king before you can aspire to be the king.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about the big news. Normally, not a whole lot of news comes out of minicamp, but it certainly did with the extension to Julian Edelman, and a nice deal there for both sides, it appears.
Yeah, you know, it caught me a little bit by surprise because I just think that the nature of that position, and we saw it with Wes prior to, and, you know, you've seen it with Julian over the course of his career, just the physical beating and the toll that it takes on your body there. And I kind of figured that this would be a scenario in which they would let Julian play out the season under the final year of his deal. And, you know, maybe you get into that point in November, December where he's going strong. Maybe you go to him and say, hey, let's do something about next year. But to get him, you know, signed to a multi-year extension, two more years on top of the remaining season he has this year is a little bit surprising to me because I think the nature of that position is one that you don't tend to last all that long.
Now, you talked about this earlier in the week. Is there also the possibility of an extension for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I definitely think there is the potential there because while, you know, Jimmy wants to play. I mean, he's like any player in this league and certainly someone who is highly thought of around the league. But I think as he sort of, you know, with Donnie as his agent, it happens to be Brady's agent, obviously. But, you know, when you talk to people that have been around the league and you get to see sort of the landscape of the league, I think there's an understanding that this is a unique situation where ownership, coaching staff, stability is running on two decades now, and you just don't find that across the league. There are very few places that have that kind of continuity, and you're running the same program year in and year out. I also think that there is a part of Garoppolo and his camp that they see the genius of this coaching staff and their ability to put people in positions to succeed, and it's not just one size fits all. We're going to make you do this because this is what we do. No, no, no. This guy does something different, but this can be beneficial to us. So we're going to coach that up, and we're going to put that into our plan, and we're going to utilize those skills. And I think you saw that with Matt Castle. They didn't make Matt Castle do what Tom Brady did because very few, if any, can do what Tom Brady did. But they played up to Matt's strengths and end up winning 11 games. And granted, that was a loaded team. You're coming off a, you know, 18-1 campaign the year prior, but he got better and the more they understood and were better able to utilize his skill set, and his confidence grew. And I think that Jimmy and his people kind of understand, like, look, you know, it's not going to be easy to follow someone like Tom Brady, but if you're going to do it, this is a pretty good place to do it in.
I saw your social media post the other day. Are there really people, particularly in the media, who take anything into account when it comes to either OTA or minicamp stats?
Sadly, yes. and I think it's I don't think they're intentionally trying to be misleading. I think they're trying to be almost dry harbors. But in this period, to compile any numbers or to even think as you're looking over who's lining up with whom, that that's the way it's going to be is just crazy. And I think Belichick hammered that home today when he said, this isn't even real football. You know, you're in shorts and t-shirts. And he constantly stresses this is a teaching camp, and that's what it is, and that's why you see, you know, Stephon Gilmore running with the twos yesterday for a period of time, and you know, this guy's the nickel corner this week, this day, and then the next day it's somebody else, and this combination is working together here, and then you know, two periods later they're doing something different. So it's just, you can't read anything into it, and I go on this rant. I feel like every time it's not just the quarterback. I remember last year with the Martellus Bennett thing, and while Bennett turned out to be a very important piece to them and certainly allowed them to deal with the loss of Gronkowski, the fact of the matter is, as people were talking about him being like an 80 or 90 catch guy, even with Gronk, and that was just, it was silly. It just, you can't, just because it isn't, again, as Belichick said, he put it best, as he usually does, it's not even real football.
We're talking with Mike Giardi of Comcast Sportsnet. Coach Belichick, very forthcoming when you asked him about Rob Gronkowski's contract.
Yeah, nothing but the best right there, right? I mean, that's another one. It's very, very interesting. And I think if he was being honest, I think that there is part of a make Rob happy because the market for tight ends went crazy a couple of years after he signed what was then the richest deal a tight end has ever signed. But then you see guys like Kobe Fleener, and even Dwayne Allen, who's now on your team, get big deals, and they're not, you know, half the player that Gronkowski is. And in Allen's case, he hasn't even been available either. You know, Bill always talks about part of being great is being available, and we know that Rob's had injury problems, but then you get somebody like Allen, who's not nearly the player that Gronk is, and he's getting mega money. So I think part of it was cap room, opportunity to make something where, you know, again, the incentive base. So, like, hey, if it works out and you reach all these things, then we're more than happy to pay you $10 million, which is five more million than we were going to, because then that means you are Rob Gronkowski, beast, uncoverable, you know, and you're helping us win football games. So, but clearly another one of those interesting scenarios that have played out this offseason in what has been a very different offseason than normal for the Patriots.
Yeah, one of the strangest offseasons has to be that of Malcolm Butler, but from the guys you've talked to, it doesn't seem like it's distracted him much.
No, you know, I think he'd be lying if he told you that it didn't still piss him off, but that he is smart enough to understand, look, you're playing for free agency this year. So you can't go out there and be a malcontent. You can't go out there and perform poorly or not as well as you've done the last 2 years and then expect you're going to go onto the open market and get the money that Stephon Gilmore got that you thought you deserved. You have to go out and you play and you earn it. And while I think it's still a bitter pill to swallow, at least to this point, you know, he's getting back into the swing of things. He's made it pretty clear, I think, that he still wants to be the guy, even though he's not being paid to be the guy. And that competitiveness, I think, is something that has always served him. And I think Devin McCourty said he's being the guy on the field right now is the same guy that he's known since he came into the league. And I think that speaks volumes about the professionalism that he's shown best to this point. You know, and again, it's still very early. You haven't started playing games yet. And I think it's key for the Patriots because a right in the head motivated Malcolm Butler gives them the potential to have the best secondary they've had maybe ever.
You've got a new piece that I had a chance to read during the break on CSNNE.com about Cyrus Jones, who barely is doing what you have to do, put last year and some of the struggles behind him and focus on the coming season.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, I kind of note in the piece that, like, there were times last year where he's very open about his struggles, and there were other times where, you know, he got on social media and was retweeting people, you know, the quote-unquote haters, and, you know, he blew out of here after the Ravens game. I mean, he was actually walking out of the locker room as we were coming towards the locker room, and I don't think I've ever seen a player exit that fast who was dressed, you know, through the entire game. And I think he's kind of one of those guys you have to watch because I think his talent is evident. And there's obviously there's a reason why he won the second round. And I think his return skills can be a difference maker, but he struggled last year and he has been sort of on a roller coaster this spring. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where I think one of the reasons that they drafted him last year was, well, they had a bunch of guys rated about the same, but his special team ability was the thing that kind of put him over the top of the rest of that group. And then you didn't get the kind of performance you wanted out of him. And I think now he's going to be tested even more because there are plenty of guys that can do what he does. It's just, if he's right, he can do it a little bit better maybe, but we've only seen that in little brief flashes in his first year.
Is this Patriots team better than the one that won the Super Bowl 4 months ago?
I would say, yeah. I think when you consider what they've added, the health, the overall health of the team, and it wasn't a crazy offseason in terms of guys getting surgeries and having to get right and guys being limited here in the spring part, I'd say yes. I just, the one thing, and I think the Bill has talked about in the past, is that now you get less rest. You know, you're playing until February, you got to take that time off, that pushes you back a little bit to get your body right, then you start training again, and he talked about organizationally, you had the 5 weeks where you're behind. The same holds true for a player. You're playing extra games, you're putting your body through obviously a heck of a lot more than some of these other teams are, where some teams are shutting it down by, you know, the end of November. And that wear and tear sometimes shows in the following season if you make it through the previous season. So I think that's, you know, health is always critical, I think, in this league. I think, you know, a lot of times the best teams aren't just the ones with the most talent, but the ones that are fortunate enough to stay healthy in all the right spots over the course of a year.
Mike Giardi, Comcast Sportsnet. Mike, always great talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us. And keep in mind that those two negative comments, neither of those came from anybody in Maine. The Pine Tree State loves you.
And I love the Pine Tree State. I can't wait to get back up there again this summer.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk with you again soon.
Take care.